Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Here we are. I believe this will be airing the 3rd of March.
March 3rd, yeah.
Tuesday the 3rd, and we're actually taping this in February. So we've looked forward to, particularly when I'm in Colorado, you're in New Hampshire. March just starts to be good. Spring's coming. And so that's a good thing. We're talking about what it means to operate in the prophetic. We are called to be prophets. We are called to assist others in our community, to build our community, and to have our spouse and our friends and our inner circle serve in that same place. Mm-hmm. Is that it's not just a unique gift that a few people get. He says, no, everybody is to be operating in that mode to hear what I have to say, contribute what I have to say to each other. Mm-hmm. And again, what the purpose of it is to discover God's will.
Right.
So that we know that we know that we know, here's what you said, and here's the step that you want me to take. And then we would encourage each other, be faithful to that step, mm-hmm. Which would be fun. So we talked last time about Christ opened the door, literally the door to the throne room, where he said, now everybody has the privilege of coming. Don't waste that opportunity. With boldness and confidence, you come with an authentic heart. You'll get rivers of life. You'll get light, truth, understanding, and the power and the might that comes with it to be in the right place for God to deliver it. He says to us that, I want you to understand you actually all have an interesting role, mm-hmm. which is to serve as a priest, which is kind of a foreign thought to most people. Because we look at, in our culture, it's, well, a priest is a pastor.
Right. Those who are called to ministry.
Called to ministry. And okay, good. Those are good. I'm glad they are. And we enjoy that. And therefore, they think I'm not. So I'll let them pastor. And I'll just, mostly sit around and listen. And I don't really actively do much. Sometimes a bunch of us serve. But he said, no, you're all called to be a royal priest. So go to 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 10.
Sure. Says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, by his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light.
Yeah. So he does say something that's kind of important, is that as the high priest and the one that was both the sacrifice, is that it served as a foundation and a stone that either helps you to gain the beauty of the life because of it, mm-hmm. or it becomes a stumbling block.
Right.
Okay. Now think of just a simple thought of, what is a stumbling block?
Something that gets in your way and you trip over.
Yeah, exactly. It's that simple. It's that it's there. You know it's there and you trip over it. Mm-hmm. You try to resolve it on your own because it got in the way, mm-hmm. of my life or my agenda. And so he says, now, if most people come to that foundational stone, they recognize, oh, this is the basis of building my house. I want to stay here and follow him in the building of my house.
Right.
And it's not a stumbling block. It's a foundation, mm-hmm. of, okay, I get it. I'm going to build my foundation on him, and I want to. Mm-hmm. I don't stumble over it. I rejoice. And read it. Again, it's kind of interesting. But, you know, look at the, read that last verse.
The last 9 and 10.
Yeah.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy.
So he said, you are a royal priesthood, and you're going to proclaim the beauty of the foundation of Christ, and I'm going to serve as a priest, which he gives an indication here is one of the things you're called to do is proclaim that you get to participate in the life of God. Mm-hmm. And you're privileged to do that because why? You are, not you can be, will be, might be, perhaps, you are a royal priesthood. In other words, one of my roles and one of my roles, your roles, the next person's role, every believer's role is to understand I've called you to be a royal priest. Mm-hmm. It's not some of you. It's not only the educated. It's only not right. The ones that just went to seminary. It's every one of you are to serve in that role. Why? Because that's what I elevate you to, mm-hmm. is to be a royal priest. Okay, now, it says so. And it says you're to proclaim the privilege of that life. Mm-hmm. Okay, in order for me to serve as a royal priest, my first question would be, what does a priest do? Mm-hmm. Really? Because mm-hmm. I have my view of it.
Right.
Which God says, yeah, you don't have a good view of it because you're looking at structurally
right.
how you operate within a pastoral staff. Right.
And or culturally what has been around you with that.
Yeah. One. And then two, he says you're to proclaim that life. Mm-hmm. Okay, your next question would be, well, what life is that? And if I'm to proclaim something, by definition, what must be true of me?
Then I need to be experiencing it.
Yeah. That's the beauty of it all is mm-hmm. that, see, I don't want you to teach people about that life. I want right. you to proclaim it because it's emanating out of you of what that life is about. And, you know, we have such a privilege of that because we have these leaders. To be a leader in our ministry, by definition, you have to be experiencing it. Mm-hmm. And it's really simple to understand that. And there's people along the path that, yeah, I'd like to become a leader because they think of, I have leadership skills and, or I have teaching mm-hmm. skills. I like what you guys are doing.
Right.
And I'd like to be able to teach that. And we say, great, that's fantastic. However, we don't teach about it.
We experience it.
We experience it. And all we do is share what we experience and invite people to do the same, you know? So by definition, we all have to be experiencing it just to get to that place of saying, okay, and God says, yes, you now can give it away. And the only reason you can give it away is that you're actually having it.
Right.
Okay, now, so we have a group of people this last week, we had 38 of them in the room for a week, you know, getting in the word and processing. But, and we had some new people that were particularly Gen Zers and a few new leaders that have demonstrated that they're living it out. This was their first experience with that group. Mm.
That's so fun.
Yeah. And so you and I know that one thing that we recognize when we get together is there's a joy, mm-hmm. a element of just syncing up together, the rejoicing of the life that we're experiencing. Mm. We share that openly, and it's not what did I do?
Right.
It's what did God do?
Yeah, there's such a purity of declaring his faithfulness.
Right, right. And they are declaring and proclaiming the life. And when that happens, particularly with a group of people that all have that heart, is there is such phenomenal, beautiful joy that comes out of it. Is every single moment we're together, it's joyful, it's mm-hmm. it's fun, we have laughter, we have sharing, we do help each other. And
there are no egos in the room.
There's
everybody
no egos.
Just looking to God. Yeah.
Yeah. And where there's no egos and we're just enjoying it. And the newbies, they recognize that. Mm-hmm. They said, oh my gosh, I've never experienced being with a group of people that proclaimed the life of God like you guys. Mm-hmm. And we're not faking it. It's just overflowing, you know, and he says, why? Well, because we're all priests.
Right.
They now understand, oh, that's their role is to experience it and proclaim it as a priest. And so we have to understand, okay, what does that mean? how do I step into that place? And in the prophetic is such a big place. Okay, so go to 2 Peter 1:1-4, and he kind of tells us a key element of that.
Sure. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Yeah. So he says that as you do this, you will start to participate in God's divine nature. Okay, now, as you serve as a priest, he says you have to proclaim your experience with me, which is, one, my transformation of you into experiencing, participating, having my divine nature in you. So that's why Paul could say, it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. He was experiencing that divine nature. He said, so as a priest, you will experience that divine nature, and you'll be being transformed into my image and the characteristics of who I am. And you'll recognize that you'll receive the precious promises that I issue. Okay. And we recognize that as a priest, then my role is to understand the promises. What are you speaking to me? And then how can I receive that and walk into it? So as a priest, he said, first and foremost, you have to be in that position where you're hearing my promises.
Right.
You're understanding how to understand clarity and steps, and you're experiencing the fulfillment of my promises. He said, then as a priest, your role will be to assist others to do what? The same thing.
Right.
Okay, so if I'm going to help you do that, who do I have to connect you with?
With God.
Yeah. You have to learn to abide, which is why we call our ministry Abide Ministries, is all of the depth of what we do all emanates from learning first what it means to abide. Why? So you could receive the divine nature and experiencing the promises of God.
Right.
And you can't get that through me. See, I have to connect you and then walk with you into what God does in your life, because I'm serving as a priest to bring you to that place, and I know something.
Right.
If you come to that place, what will you become?
A priest.
A priest. because why? Well, that's our calling. And I'll know it when you can proclaim that life, and then you understand, oh, I've got to bring other people to that same place.
Yeah.
And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And we're all serving as priests. Because when we first learn it, you know, we don't even know what that means. And it would be a foreign thought to us. So I'll never be a priest, because I think, well, that means I'm in full-time ministry. And he says, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your position as a royal priest. And then he tells us.
It's not what we're talking about from a vocational standpoint, but it is what we're talking about from a life standpoint.
Okay, help.
We are all called.
Explain the difference.
Yeah. So, you know, one, you're getting paid for, but the other is a calling. When we are walking in full surrender to him, we are in full-time ministry. Our lives should be reflecting, we become the visible expression of an invisible God. And that does not check out when we're at the grocery store. It doesn't check out when we're in a conversation that's difficult to have. It doesn't check out for any number of things. 24/7, we are in full-time ministry because we are his, and we are called to be his priest and his representation here on the earth. But that requires walking with him.
Is there any then distinction between if you're a layperson, you know, working, and a pastor? Is there any distinction?
Well, I do think the Bible lays out, though, parameters and qualifications for elders and deacons and pastors that we cannot dismiss. Those are things, as you're called into vocational ministry, that are very much requirements. Yet at the same time, we are all called to be this when we're walking with him.
Yeah. And the key there is that being in business is not worse than being in full-time ministry,
right,
or less.
Yes.
It is
a different platform.
It's a different platform and a different place that God says, yeah, I'm calling you to be a pastor. I'm calling you to be a full-time minister. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Interesting enough, it works both sides. And that is this. If you're in business, I need you to be a full-time minister all the time. See, your whole life becomes the ministry. And it's not sometimes yes, sometimes
it's
no.
It's not compartmentalized.
It's that. Okay, now as a pastor, if you only think of your job as a functional job, you actually could be in there, but you're actually not serving as a full-time minister.
Right, right.
Yeah, you're doing the work of ministry, but you're not proclaiming the life that God has for you and saying, that's your place, but are you serving as a royal priest and declaring, claiming the life of God? Are you experiencing the life of
God? Right, right.
And so it's kind of interesting. And then he tells us, something cool here. Go to 1 Chronicles 23, verses 12 and 13.
Sure, it says, the sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel.
Oh, there you go. Beautiful. Excellent.
Sure. Four in all, the sons of Amram, Aaron and Moses, and Aaron was set apart, he and his sons forever, that he should sanctify the most holy things, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister to him, and to give the blessing in his name forever.
Yeah. Okay. So he tells us something really interesting. He says, okay, I want you to understand the role of a priest. And he kind of describes it here with, Aaron and the family and the Levites. He says, what are you to do? And go ahead and read, that verse 13, because it says, this is what you're all called to do.
Okay. It says, the sons of Amram, Aaron and Moses, and Aaron was set apart, he and his sons forever, that he should sanctify the most holy things, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister to him, and to give the blessing in his name forever.
Okay. So he said, your focus is actually toward God first.
Mm-hmm.
Is you bring sanctification, and we're going to see here what that looks like. You are to help them understand that you bring offering. An offering is sacrifice, that surrender, so that you surrender to hear God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will minister to who?
To him, to God.
To God. See, the primary ministry is to God, is to, I am going to be here actually ministering to you, God. And how would we minister to God? Well, by being in his place, listening to his voice and enjoying the promises of God.
Right.
As I surrender my will, I delight myself in him, and that actually ministers to God. So in other words, he rejoices that you're here, you're in communion with me, you're abiding with me, I get to speak with you, and we have fellowship together. And he said, that ministers to me.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to miss the weight of that statement, to minister to him. How beautiful it is that truly we can minister to him. That's just such a privilege, such an honor to be able to think, to think he created us and we minister to him as well as him ministering to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's incredible, right?
It really is. And then he says that you would pronounce blessing in my name. Okay, so if I am going to pronounce blessing over you, and see, the thought here isn't a general blessing, which is, we kind of hear this in prayer, God, would you bless Kathy?
Right.
Without any thought about what that means, is, I hope you bless Kathy.
Right.
He says, no, you're going to pronounce a blessing. The blessing is going to be my promise that I'm leading her to the covenant so that she receives a blessing and becomes a blessing.
Right.
And there's a will to that. There's a place for that. There's a specific to that. You are pronouncing that, which means, if I'm pronouncing that over you, what do I know? I know God's will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm receiving God's will. And my role as a priest is to have you come to the place where you receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, now remember, I don't want you to set it up that, Rich, you receive it and tell Kathy.
Right.
I want Kathy to receive it. Your role is to, as you confirm that, help her receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your role.
Right.
Is to bring God's will to her by bringing her to me
and
together in unity, confirming my will.
Yes. Yep.
So how fantastic is that?
What a privilege, right?
Yeah. And he said, you're all called to do that, which means I will be living this out. I'll be receiving it. And when I go to the throne room and I'm looking for clarity and wisdom, he said, bring other priests with you and let them serve as the priest to you.
Right.
And then you serve as that to others. And see how beautiful it is? That's why it's not like, well, you're higher than me. You're rather, I get to join you, you get to join me, and I welcome you to join me.
Absolutely.
Well, because you're serving your role, and I get to discern God's will. How fantastic is that? So Heavenly Father, we understand that we're all called to be royal priests. It's a purpose. It's a beautiful thing that we have a privilege to. May we receive what that means, live it out, that we will be with you, we will minister to you, and then we will proclaim the blessing toward others. And we pray and receive that we learn how to do that well together in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then. All right.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.